Well, how's everyone doing this morning? Amen. It's a good day, isn't it? It's a good day. We're here, so it's a good day. And in case you don't know who I am, my name is Brad Lawrence, and my wife Jean usually comes with and usually will help me at times minister and that, but she's at home bouncing back too. And so is me. So Pastor John had called me up Friday and asked me, he said, "You got anything in your back pocket?" And I said, "Well, I'll find it." I said, "There's something in there." I said, "So, but I'm blessed to be here." And you know, Gene and I are both a part of RBFM and ordained through them, and just a part of this vision. This whole vision is great to see what God is doing up here, you know, in this church. And you know, and it's true. You know, pray for your pastors. I mean, they're out front. You know, I pastored for over 20 years, and you know, sometimes you know you have the pastor, but thank God for the pastor's wife and their family, because they do get hit, and that, and so, and even as a pastor, I always say, nowadays if you have anyone that's still in the ministry yet, you know, they used to say, and probably is still true, that the average lifespan of a pastor is 5 years. So I can remember when I heard that and I made the 5-year mark, I thought, well, at least I passed that up anyways. I made it past that. But I always said, you know, if you're still standing in the ministry today, you know, and especially, you know, the things that we went through since 2020 and what the churches went through and what the pastors went through, that you can give four people credit: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and their wives. And that the wives keep us in balance and keep us checked in check. And I always say, it keeps us from becoming granola Christians. You know, what's a granola Christian? Nuts, fruits, and flakes. And so they keep us there and they keep us steady. But, you know, pray, just continue to pray for them. And you know, they're here and God's doing a great work in here. And he's doing a great work in RVFM too. So we go over to, we're at River Valley, Pastor John Easel's church, and we're a part of that. I know that there's a training center that's getting ready to get started. And so Gene and I have been working close with Pastor John Neitzel on that. I know there's information coming out on that, but that's an exciting thing that God is going to be doing. You know, that, you know, you have Karis and, you know, and you're getting a good foundation. People are getting a good foundation through there, a good foundation through the Word, you know, through Andy Womack. I actually was knew of him, and since way back in the 80s, the early 80s. And the church that I went to, we were a church probably about this size, and he was really good friends with Andy Womack. And so when he would come in to Phoenix and do meetings, he'd do meetings in downtown, he rented a place there, and then he'd come over to our church, and he'd minister to us. And I know my dad always listened to Andrew Womack. He used to call him Popcorn Andy because he told the stories when they were surviving on popcorn. So Karis is a you get the foundation there. But we also realize that when you went out and you go out, and whether you're going to pastor, whether you're going to be a worship leader, there's just a lot of practical things that when I went to Rhema, that when I got out there, I knew some things, but there's a lot of things I didn't know that I wish I would have known. And I said, you know, just having some of that practical training and that in all the areas that they're going to have, and even in missions and outreach, and it just, I said, it just saves, it can save a lot of hard knocks for people and for ministers, especially with these churches that are going, and the momentum that's happening in this vision. I mean, it's really astounding, you know, and what we're seeing is exciting, but it's a God thing, you know, and it's kind of the direction I want to go this morning. And so I just going to talk around the area of maintaining focus and keeping our eyes on the target, and because that's what we need to do, amen. And as I said, I've seen a shift and a change in the portion of the body of Christ, and you're seeing more hunger being stirred up, and you're seeing more excitement happen, and more of a passion for the kingdom of God, and seeing people wanting to get in on what God is doing and wanting to be in and be a part of what God is going to do. And, you know, we look at the RVFM and the RVFM churches. This whole thing is something God has birthed, you know. And so when something is birthed, it's life. And so, you know, you can have an organization, but you can have a church, but the church doesn't have life, then it's nothing more than an organization. But when God births something, there's life that goes there, and things are happening. And when God is in something and people are responding, you have momentum. And that's one of the things I've noticed, and especially the past year, just being involved with the different ministries and different ministers that we know, and just observing, one of the things I have observed is the Holy Ghost churches and the ones that never backed down. You know, when COVID hit and everything and things were being shut down and locked down, but one of the things I've noticed is that the churches that wouldn't back down, you know, and you know, there was perimeters that were set out there that, you know, had to be followed. But yet, it's amazing how the enemy, because the enemy, this whole thing is not a natural government political battle. It's a spiritual thing that's happening, a spiritual battle that's taking place. And then what the enemy wants to do, he wants to stop the church and shut down the church and try to shut down the word of God. But when this whole thing kicked in, it's like the church has found another way through virtual. And they ramped it up and got it going. And so there was no momentum lost that was there. But what I noticed is that the churches that didn't back off, that, you know, and especially primarily I see the Holy Ghost churches, the Word churches that didn't back off, they gained momentum through the whole thing. And now you still see momentum happening, and you still see momentum going. And so they ramped it up, and so the momentum's there. And you see it in RVFM. I mean, just you see the churches that are existing, they're growing. And now you have the new church coming in Richmond. And that thing is getting ready to take off, and that's getting ready to go. And then you have the East St. Paul. God is doing some powerful things over there, getting that in place. And I know Amory is on sites. And so God is doing some pretty powerful things. And we want to be able to continue in that and be in that and see that happen. But at the same time, there's all kinds of distractions that are out there. And there's a pull that can be there. And so the enemy will want to do that. So the world, you know, even this country and this nation, and so what they have always been trying to do, and what the world wants to do, and what the enemy wants to do, is he's trying to take a pull on us and say, look over here. You need, this is your reality. This is how life is going to function. And you know, this is, you look at us, and this is how you're to gauge your life and how you're to gauge your future. But how many know we're in a different kingdom? We're under different authority, and we're not to be ignorant about what's going on. But for example, you know, I found we can't look at the news feeds, and we can't look at Apple News when it pops up on our phones and determine that's where my life is going to go. You know, and so, and that's what I noticed with the churches. It's like, normally you'd think, you know, from a natural standpoint, so for RVFM and Pastor John, it'd be, well, we got to have all this going on, so we probably should just step back a little bit and just watch and see. Well, what are we watching and seeing if we did that? We'd be watching and seeing how things are happening and unfolding out there. But we just keep our eyes on Him and keep our eyes focused on Him. And it's the same thing, and keep on going. Because the whole thing is this vision, the River Valley vision, God already knew what was coming down the road. And, you know, the whole thing caught everyone by surprise. Everyone that I knew and the people that I knew that were, you know, out front in prayers, they never even picked it up. But I always think in terms, you look at Numbers 13, and when God told him, Moses, to get the spies, send out the land, you know, spy out the land that I'm giving you. But the whole thing is, there were giants that were out there, but God didn't talk to them about the giants. You ever notice that? He didn't say, oh, by the way, there's some giants out there. Same thing in your own personal life. See, you have passions and you have desires and you have things that God has put in you for such a time as this. But if we look to what's going out there and say, well, maybe that can't happen. If God put it there, He already knew it, but He already knew the giants were going to be there. But even though there's giants that will appear in our life, He already has a solution for the giants. And so all we have to do is obey and keep on going and keep on following. And so the enemy will come in and he will try to trip us up. And that's why we need each other. We can't do this alone. And that's what's great about RVFM and the whole vision. We're not alone. And you know, and the churches, you're not alone. I mean, thank God, you know, something happens quick. There's people we can go to, you know, and come in and pick it up. We had helped Pastor John with the DCPI training and just some of the teaching in there for him. But the great thing is we're not alone. So people are going out, even people that are going to go out and plant churches, or you're going to go out and be a part of the church plants, and you know, and eventually maybe be a worship leader in a church plant, or a pastor and lead one of the church plants, or be another type of leadership. The great thing is we're not alone. And Pastor John have figured it out within RVFM and the RVFM ministers that are a part of it, that are belong to it. He figured it out. He had us all tell how many years of ministry we've been in, you know, and it was like over about 1,000 years of ministry experience that is there. And so this is good, and this is going to be good. But the enemy wants to come in, and he wants it to distract. And so what we want to be able to do is keep on going. So if you go with me to Isaiah 60, I'm going to start there. And so I want to just bring out the fact that we can, so the things that go on, things that are happening, not just in a world, from a world standpoint, not just from a national standpoint, but there's things that go on in our house. Amen. There's things that go on in our life. And we need to be able to navigate through those, and how you can get into this deep, dark hole sometimes in life and think there's no way out. And how you can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. What can I do? What are some things I can do to get out and to move out of that? But if you go to Isaiah 60, I'll begin reading verse 1. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for your word, that your word is alive and is full of power, is energizing, is active, it produces results in our lives, it gives us direction, it gives us answers to life. So Father, I thank you that you bless your word. We thank you that the anointing is on this word, and Father, that everything that needs to be said will be said, and the things that shouldn't be said won't be said. And Father, but I thank you for it now, in Jesus' name, amen. So verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." But it goes on and it says, "But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." So it's saying there, you know, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." So with that, we can look at that and say, as far as the church is concerned, our best days are ahead of us. Our best days are ahead of us. And so I don't know about you, but when I see the things that were going on, I just got more excited. Because I thought, it doesn't matter what's going on out there. It's not matter what's being said out there. God is going to trump all this. God is going to show up. And sometimes people, well, where is he? At just the right time. You know, he sees the whole picture. And so our best days are ahead. And especially if we're looking at this from an eternal perspective, that, as I said earlier, we're here for this time. You're here just for this time. And when I see people in these churches and people a part of this vision, I believe there's things in everybody in this room. I believe there's things in your heart that go way beyond just showing up to church on Sunday morning and going home. I believe that there's more deposited in there. And so what we want to do, we want to be able to draw those things out because they're in there and they're placed in there from God. And so we want to look at things from an eternal perspective. And so he says here, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." So it's upon us. So the glory of the Lord is upon the church as a whole. The glory of the Lord is upon the church. And so as individual members, the Spirit of God wants to move in your life, and he wants to move through you. And we go on down here to verse 2. It says, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But it says, the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And it says, for Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." And so you go back up to here, you go back to verse 2. And it says here, it talks about the glory of the Lord being upon us. But it says, why does the glory of the Lord need to be upon us? And it says here, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. And then it says, and deep darkness the people. So darkness shall cover the earth. And it goes on and it says, deep darkness the people. And when you look at that, that word deep means thick or it means gross. So it's talking about deep, you know, people can say, well, it's there now. Yeah, and it is. It's getting deeper, and we can say maybe it's even thick, but we haven't seen anything yet. I can remember back in the 80s, we said, it's dark. In the 90s, we said, it's dark. In the millennial turn, it's dark. And now we look in the past year and a half, and we will say, it's dark. But, you know, the whole thing is, it's dark, but not as thick and dark as it's going to be. But the whole thing is, we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear the darkness. We don't have to fear what's happening and what's taking place, you know, and everything that we see. You know, the whole thing is what we need to do, we need to run at that. So when things get more difficult, if things get harder to do and harder to navigate through, we just need to run at that. Just like David did Goliath. When Goliath, when he got ready, when it says that Goliath, when he rose up to go to meet David, it says David ran to him. He didn't sit back and wait for him to come. He ran at that. And it's the same thing in our personal lives. There's a lot of things that you're going through, I'm sure, that no one knows about. You can be going through something that absolutely even the people close to you, they don't know about. But one of the things I found out in my life, I know in the past couple of years, I've gone through things I hadn't gone through, you know, in comparison for years and years and years, and gotten in this place where it's almost like this dark hole. And it was just like, you know, you think, well, how on earth am I ever going to get out of that? But one of the things I knew I had to do, I had to meet that stuff head on. I had to, you know, in my life, I found, yeah, I've got to meet my fears. If I don't meet my fears and conquer those fears, they're just going to govern me no matter what I do or what I do. And what they do is they just put a limp in our walk and hinder our course as far as where we're going and what we can do. And so, but the darker it gets, the thicker it gets, the more intent we need to be on getting brighter. And so there's something the enemy wants to do is to make sure what he wants to do is snuff out our light. Because what does it say there? It says the Gentiles are going to come to your light, not to a light. They're coming to your light. And it goes, and kings, it says, to the brightness of your rising. And that word rising means coming forth. And so, and that's what we see in a portion of the body of Christ. We see a coming forth. We see a rising up and a coming forth. And so we want to keep this momentum going, but there's going to be obstacles that are going to be along the way. There's going to be, and here's the whole thing. The thing the enemy wants to do is the enemy, because the whole thing, if the church is moving forward, if the body of Christ is moving forward, so if River Valley, St. Croix Falls is moving forward, the thing he's going to try to do to hinder it is to hit the individual members of St. Croix Falls to try to begin to hinder the momentum that's here. And the same thing overall in the whole River Valley. Because we know the whole thing, the church is people, amen? The church is not about an organ. We talk about the church, we are talking about people. When we talk about the church having momentum, we're talking about people having momentum. When we talk about the church being under attack, we're talking about people being under attack. And that's why the enemy, he likes to get to the person out front, because that's who he's after, amen? And that's what he's trying to take out. But thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for Pastor Jonah, thank God for the foundation he has on the inside of him and the determination that he has on the inside of him. And so this is just a hiccup along the road. And so he's going to be through and he's going to be on the other side. Amen. That's why it's important that you pray. Because I said, we get into those areas, we can't do them, we can't do them ourselves. And so he will try to get that. But we need to stay focused. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians. So what do we do? So when I talk about being focused, that means there's things that happen in our life. That means there's things that can take place that will try to veer us off and get our eyes off the target. And get our eyes off where we're going and what we're doing. Get our eyes off the things that are on the inside of us. So as I said, each one of you in here, you've got some things on the inside of you. You have some dreams and you have some desires. You have some passions that are on the inside of you. The whole vision, you know, the vision is, you know, about revival. You have to remember that. It's about revival. And one of the things that the Lord told Pastor John, he says, I didn't tell you to do the revival, to bring the revival. I told you to get prepared for the revival, to get in place and get in position for it. And so that's the last thing the enemy wants to do, is allow us to get in position for revival. The last thing that the enemy wants to do is allow you to get in your position for your part in this revival. And when it talks about the Gentiles coming to our light, that means, you know, the whole thing is, you know, I always like in church here, when you come to church, it's like, this is like the locker room. And we come in here and we get prepared in here, but the game's out there. Amen? And so the game's not in here. And so I don't come in, when I played sports, I didn't come into the locker room to play the game. I've come into the locker room to get a strategy to go out there and do the game. And so you know, you think, well, where's our world? Your world is who's around you at the moment. That day you're there, that's your world. And we have to be in tune to the Holy Ghost as to what we're to be doing, because you don't know who's standing beside you. You don't know what they're going through. And we need to be listening to the Holy Ghost. My wife is just, you know, she always is like, with her, is like, all she has to do is ask somebody how you're doing. And she'll do it in the checkout line. And all of a sudden, they'll just like unload on her, you know. And sometimes you think, okay, I don't want to go here today, Lord. It's just like, you know, and they'll, but it's there. It's like, so that at that time, that's her world. Because that's, you know, and it's the same with you. So when you go out there, you know, there's divine strategies. You know, there's angels out there, and angels are working. The Spirit of God is working, and He's moving people right down your path. Is, you know, wasn't that a coincidence? Even when you're praying, even when you're going down the road, and all of a sudden you see someone. I know that happens to Jean all the time. She sees someone, you know, and then, you know, at the earlier years, she goes, well, why am I always seeing that person? And I say, well, probably they need to pray. And so she started praying for that person. And then she even was getting more bold, where she'd call them up and ask them how they're doing, you know, and find out that they're going through something at that time. And so God will use us in a lot of different ways, but we need to be in tune to the Holy Ghost. But it's hard to be in tune to the Holy Ghost when all this stuff is happening. And so when this stuff is happening, this junk is happening in our lives, or this junk is happening in the body of Christ from out there, as I said, we can't look out there and get our direction. We have to look in here and get our direction. So it comes from within here. So if you go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, And he's talking here, and the Apostle Paul is talking here, and in verse 3, he talked about that he's with him in weakness, and he says that his preaching were not a persuasive words of human wisdom, but he says in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And demonstration of the Spirit and power. We, I'm talking to myself with everything that I'm saying here this morning. We need to always be prepared to be stepping into demonstration of the Spirit and power. You know, demonstration of Spirit and power doesn't mean we have to get all charismatic and, you know, and woo-woo and all that, and, you know, and freak them out, you know, and they don't want anything to do with us. You can see the most powerful things happen by just praying with someone. I can remember when I was, you know, praying with someone one time, we were doing a Christmas outreach, and this was when I was in Phoenix. And we went into a house, and we were bringing food there and some other supplies. There was me and this other kid that I was kind of mentoring. He was about 18 years old. And so we brought it in there, and then we shared, you know, if I come in your house, I'm sharing Christ with you, you know. And so especially when you know you're not saved, I'm in here, I'm bringing you some food, you're going to listen and that. But I'm not going to get weird on you. And so we prayed, and we led her to the Lord, and she had a family there. She had two daughters there and a husband. So when we started sharing the Lord with her, the husband booked it, and he went back in the back room. And then the wife had, you know, she stayed there, and the kids just kind of backed off and away. And so we prayed with her, and she received Christ. And then I said, is there anything else that we could pray for you about? I said, maybe there, you know, maybe you need healing. Maybe there's something going on in your life that we could just pray. You know, and she says, well, she says, actually, she goes, I can't see. She says, I have diabetes, and she says, I can't, you know, where I'll stand. She goes, you're just nothing but a blur. She goes, I can only see what's in front of me, you know. And I thought, well, this one's over my head, and that, and so. But I remember saying, you know, just staying in faith. I said, well, we can pray for you. So I covered my tracks. I said, you know, sometimes God will heal gradually. So in case nothing happens here, at least I can get out the door and just leave it be there, just to be honest about it. And so I said, you know, we'll pray for you. And I said, and you know, God's will is for you to be healed. God's will for you to see. And so we just took our hand. He took one hand, I took the other hand. And I just prayed a simple prayer. I didn't feel no power. I didn't feel any kind of glory. I didn't feel any electricity. I felt zero, nothing. And I just said, you know, just prayed. I can't remember exactly what I prayed. And we got done praying. And all of a sudden she goes, I can see. She goes, my eyes just popped open. She goes, I can see perfect. And she was just ecstatic and that. And she goes, she gets up, she goes, oh my gosh, I can see. Well, guess what? Dad came out of the bedroom and the kids came out and they were all crying, you know, and so being sent. So it's a matter of where are you at? But you always want to expect. See, we have the Holy Ghost in us. We have, and we're going to see this in a minute. We have the same spirit in us that raised Jesus from the dead. You think about that. So the same spirit, the exact Holy Ghost that it said that exerted that power that was exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, that same power is on the inside of us. But we want to be able to navigate, because I just got off my whole message, so I'm just going to follow this. But we go over here. But in demonstration in the spirit and power, what? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. And he's just talking about mere men. He says that your faith, that you're believing, that your trust would not be in the wisdom of men. Man doesn't have an answer. It doesn't matter who gets in that office, what office, whatever. They're not going to fix anything. And we all know that, you know. And so they don't have the answer. But he said what? That your faith, that your reliance should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He goes on and he goes, however we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. We can say the wisdom of this world, nor of the rulers of this age, nor of the rulers of this world, we can say. It says who are coming to nothing. Who are coming to nothing. He says they're coming to nothing. You know, the world is self-destruction. It's, you know, they're in their own self-destruction right now. They don't know it, you know, and they don't even realize how frantic they are trying to get this to go a certain way and how the enemy is propelling them to get things to go a certain way. But it goes on, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It goes on, the mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Talking about here, but we're speaking of wisdom, the wisdom of God. This is a different wisdom. This is, you're talking about natural insight and knowing what to do with the insight that's not, you're talking about insight that's not naturally obtained. But you have the insight, you know what to do with the insight that we get. We know, and so what things that are happening, the things that are taking place, we can get wisdom from God, insight from God that's not natural wisdom, but insight from God, we know what to do. And it talks about, it said it's hidden wisdom. And then it goes on and it says, which God ordained or which he appointed beforehand. So this wisdom that we have available to us is a hidden wisdom, but it was appointed beforehand. But it was appointed for us. He said, for our glory. Well, that for our glory, what that actually means is for our view. So it's a hidden wisdom for us to see. So in all the things that's happening, you know, all the things that's happened in your life, There is things that are hidden in there. They're not hidden from you. They're hidden for you. A lot of times we say, I went for 2 years after we had left the pastorate, trying to figure out what I was supposed to do next and where I was supposed to go next. And, you know, and found myself saying, well, I'm just trying to know where I'm going to go, just trying to figure out what I'm going to do. That was a problem, trying to figure out what I'm going to do and where we're going to go. But God, it was already in there. And that's where the enemy wants to get you, in the figuring realm. You figure it out. You know, how do I get out of this mess? How do I get out of this depression? How do I get out of this oppression? And he gets you to try to figure it out and try to get us to run to people sometimes. I found out many, many years ago that people can give me some advice maybe, but I really found out through the years that people cannot help me. They can't, you know, your pastor as much, and your pastor and his pastor as much as they would want to fix you, they can't fix you. All they can do is lead you to the one who can fix you and lead you to the Word of God. And, you know, there's many times I have people sit across my desk for me. I say, I wish I could, if I could just do it for you, I would, but I can't. I can only lead you to the one who can. Amen? But at least we have that. But it says, it is hidden for our glory. It says, what should none of the rulers of this age have known? For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then it goes on and it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And, you know, the whole thing is, you know, we see the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Sometimes we think in just, you know, about being prepared. It's just the things that I'm going to do in life, in the business I may have, the job I may have, the career I may have, you know, all these other things that God has prepared. But how many know within our life, within the plan of God in our life, there's things that'll creep up that we're not expected to creep up. But God, in those things that we don't know what to do, God has already prepared answers for us in those things. But it says you're not going to get spiritual answers through natural ways. We're not going to hear the voice of God through natural ways. And so we're not going to tap into spiritual things through natural means and natural ways. We're not going to tap into it through our head. We're not going to figure it out or think it through. And so it says here, but it goes on, it goes, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And so the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Here's what we need to look at in this verse of Scripture. So it talks about the Spirit searching all things, and it's got a capital S here. So the Spirit searching all things, the deep things of God. But how many know the Holy Spirit is God? So the Holy Spirit isn't searching in there trying to find out what is all going on. He already knows. But the Spirit that's in us, the Holy Spirit that's in us, as we seek God, we can find those things. And so those things are there. He will reveal those things to us. It says here, the Spirit will search all things. The Spirit will take you in on that search and bring you in to the answers you need. But it says here what? He says, but God revealed them to us through His Spirit. So if I'm gonna find my way through life, if I'm going to find my way through purpose, you're going to do it through the Spirit of God. He revealed them to us by the Spirit of God. And it goes on, and it says it searches the deep things of God. That word deep means hidden. So I'll say it again. So there's things, what you may be walking through right now, there's things that are hidden, but they're not hidden from you. They're hidden for you. And the Holy Spirit will help us to search those things out and pull those things up and draw those things up and get the answers that we need. And so there's things we can do. And he goes on in verse 12, we'll just read that. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, it says, but the Spirit who was from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That we might know the things. That word know actually means see. That we could see, that we could perceive the things that have been freely given to us by God. So all the things that pertain to your life, all the things that pertain to my life, I can know those things and I can see them things. And then you go to verse 14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So what is that saying to us? All of our answers are in here. Every answer that you need is on the inside. And so we are what? We are spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. And so everything inside of me, you know, if you think about spirit, soul, and body, we all know this, we are a spirit man, we're a spirit woman, and we're housed up in this body. And actually, we want to be governed by the one on the inside. So actually, when you think about it, when you think about being, you know, that we are a spirit and we're housed up in this body, all these eyeballs, we're just looking through these eyeballs to see out there. But you can't see the real me. God can see the real me, but you can't see the real me. The real me is in here, is in this body. And so everything in us, all everything from God and about God is in there. But we can know and we can see, and we're going to see this in a minute. It says, verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. So we're not going to tap into these things naturally. It says, nor can he know them, nor can he see them. He won't be able to grab them. A natural man is not going to get these things. It says, because what? They're spiritually discerned. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And in this prayer that Paul prays, and we'll just go to verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It says the eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your heart. The eyes of your spirit. The eyes of your spirit. The eyes of your heart. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened or flooded with light that you may know. That word know, see. That you may know, that you may see, that you may comprehend. It says, the hope of his calling, what are the glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints. And it says, and that you may know and that you may see what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And in the Amplified Bible, it says that the immeasurable, surpassing greatness of his power that's in and for you who believe. That's in and for. And it says the same power that he exerted in Christ. I have already said this before, that he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Same power. Same resurrection power. Think about that. That same power, when Jesus was in that tomb, that same power that the Holy Spirit exerted in him and raised him up from the dead and knocked the lights out of the devil, that same power resides on each one of us in this room here that are born again. Each one of us. And we think, so what are we so afraid of? You know, how big is that problem that I'm facing? How big is that? And see, the enemy wants to cloud our mind. So how do we draw that out? Go, last portion, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And with anything, you always have the Word of God. Always have the Word of God. Always Scripture. Always the Word. That no matter in all your endeavors, in all your praying, in all your searching, the Spirit of God will always lead you to the Word of God. And even when you're in prayer and you get things in prayer and things come up in prayer, it's what you get. It may not be a scripture quote, but it's always going to line up with the Word of God. You always measure everything you're getting against the Word of God or with the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you need to back off it. Right? We all need to do that. And whenever I get things, if I'm praying and I spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, and that's where I'm going to go with this now, because we need it in these days and the hour that we're in. It needs to be said, we got to spend a lot of time in this Word. We got to, this Word, because this Word is life. And so when I'm spending time in this Word, there's life coming at me. When I look at the news feed, there's nothing but a bucket of fear coming at me and a bucket of hopelessness coming at me. You know, and what happens is that we end up getting into, if we're not careful, we get into a place of hopelessness. You know, that's what the brother was sharing back there. We get into this place of hopelessness where it seems to be no hope. And a lot of spirit-filled believers and word of faith Christians, it's not a faith problem. Sometimes it's a hope problem. It's like it just seems hopeless. Yeah, I know God does it. I know it's God's will. He's doing it for you, but it doesn't seem like it's just not going to happen to me. And that's where the enemy wants. He wants to get us over into a place where we are hopeless, without hope. And if we don't have hope, there's nothing to put our faith to, because faith is a substance of things that are hoped for. So if he can get your hope, now he's got your faith. And the way he's going to try to get your hope, the way he's going to try to get your faith, he's going to try to take that word from you. He's after the word that's in your heart. And so, but at the same time, we need to pray. And so we go over here to 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 2. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God, for no one understands him. It goes on and it says, however, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. We just looked at the word mysteries in 1 Corinthians 2, didn't we? But now, however, if I speak in an unknown tongue, if I pray, because you pray in tongues, verse 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. We need to spend more time praying in the Holy Ghost. Because everything, all your answers are found in here. And it says here that if we will, it goes, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. No, the enemy does not know, have a foggiest idea what's going on. But it says, however, in the spirit, in your spirit. So when you're praying in the spirit, in your spirit, you are praying out mysteries. That's why we need to have our eyes open. So when you pray, so whatever it is you're encountering right now, whatever it is you're going through right now, there's an answer. That answer is in there. It's there. Speaking of physical things, I know I went, in the last couple of years, I walked through some physical things that there was a point in time, I didn't see any light on the end of the tunnel on it. You know, there was ways, you know, I've obtained healing before, and this time, I was not making my connection there, and I wasn't trying to get God to heal me because he already did. And so I wasn't that, but I wasn't getting anywhere. And so then I realized I've got somewhere in there, there's an answer. Somewhere in there, my answer is there and what I need to do. My connection is somewhere in there. So I have to get in there. And so I thought, I just need to keep praying in the Holy Ghost because somewhere, because I was in a place, it was hopeless. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to walk through life like this. It was hopeless. And then all of a sudden, I remember I was going up the steps and all of a sudden the light came on. My answer came on. Let me say this. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost and it says you're praying up mysteries, you're praying up plans, you're praying up purposes, you're praying up the will of God, those things are coming up. But so you need to be watching and you need to be listening while you're praying. But don't just stop there. A lot of times what we do, well, I didn't get anything that time, get out of the prayer closet and go. I didn't see anything there, so I guess I need to go back. No, the Spirit of God is always talking. The Spirit of God is always, things are always coming from heaven. We just need to connect. And I found many times that if I pray about something and keep praying, when I'm not even thinking about it, this is me, you just can't, you know, this is how God will speak to me sometimes. When I'm not even thinking about it, all of a sudden, bingo, the light comes on and I got it. It started back there when I prayed. If I wouldn't have been back there praying in the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't have received it. And I was always meditating in the Word. I was always bringing in the Scripture. I mean, I'd tape it in my phone and I'd be going down the road and working in my business and I'd just be hearing the Scripture, hearing healing. Why? Because I knew there was life going in my body. I knew healing was going in my body, but I needed to connect yet. And so, but as I prayed in the Holy Ghost and I found more and more just in life, whatever it is you're encountering right now, pray in the Holy Ghost. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, and the whole thing is you get in there and you pray in the Holy Ghost and your head will be in there and you'll be like, oh, well, you know, I'm just thinking about this and that and that. Sometimes it just takes time to get out of that and get in. But the more you do it, the quicker you get out of that and you get in there and you connect and you tap in. And it's not how long we can do. I remember I used to think, okay, we're going to do an hour, you know, and you shun to lie for an hour, you know, and all you're doing is going like this, you know. So all that, you just need to follow the Holy Ghost in prayer. You know, he may have you in there for 10 minutes and that's just it. You just know it's done. But don't think, well, I got to work this thing. You know, I only did 10 minutes. But we have to start someplace. But he says there that whoever speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. And so we need to go into that and we need to know what our answer is and we need to know we can grab it. So it's there. The answers to our life is there. And so as this goes on, even in this church here, as you go on and as the momentum picks up, because it's going to pick up, because there's no compromise. And that's, God's looking for available people. He's looking for available churches. And so God is going to work in the move, but we're going to encounter hiccups along the road. It'd just be good if it would just be, you know, I used to think, you know, if I can just get to that place where it's just, you know, just no problems, you know. And the whole thing is, you know, once you say yes to God, you just signed up for battles. You know, talking in terms of leadership. They said, you know, once you say yes to leadership, you just said yes to conflict and to battles. But we win every time. We win. And what God is doing in the earth and what God is doing in this day and hour, as I said earlier, the church is in its finest hour. The church is going to rise up. Because here's the thing, we have the answer. And, you know, and I've seen it over and over again with pastors I know. They're saying people are coming in. And the, you know, they don't even know. We talk about, you know, knowing Christ. They don't even know what we're talking about. And that, praise God for that. Amen. And so and you're going to see a lot more of that. Because why? The Spirit of God is drawing on them. But as you pray, you know, as a church, as you pray, you're praying in the Spirit, you know, God is out there working. And the whole thing is God is always working in your life. When you pray, if you prayed something yesterday, if you prayed for someone, God is working in that situation. We just can't see it. But we just know, we have to know by faith. He's got it. It's working. And then we just need to be open to Him. Amen? But we win. We win every time. God is doing great things in this earth. God is doing great things in this River Valley. And God is doing great things in this nation. And He's doing great things in this world. And that, so we win. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You. We thank You for Your word. I thank You, Father, that for what it produces in our life. And so, Father, we thank You. We just pray for this. First, I pray for this church. Father, I stand in agreement with this church that the things that Pastor Jonah and Amy have in their heart, the things that God has showed them, the things that they see out ahead, the visions that they have and the things that they see that God wants to accomplish through them and through this church and through each person in this church, I thank You, and I come in agreement that it happens, that it comes to pass. I thank You that increase continues to come here, an abundance and an overflow of increase. Increase not just in people, increase in the anointing of God, increase in the finances of God. I thank You for that. And then, Father, I pray for anyone in here that is just going through it, that's just up against the wall, and you think, I don't know, I can't seem to find my way out. It just seems like I can't navigate my way out. I thank You that, you know, if there's anybody here, do you need prayer? Would you say, you know, that's me. I just need to navigate my way out of something. Maybe I don't have a word of knowledge or anything. I'm not saying there is or isn't. But you think, you know, I can pray, and whatever it is there. It'll lift. It'll go. But then we have to follow up, and staying in the Word and staying in prayer. But if anybody is there, I'll just say I'm here to pray for you and to agree with you. And so, Father, but I thank You that no matter what it is we encounter, no matter how big it is, no matter how impossible it may seem, there's always a divine answer in it. And so, Father, I thank You that as we are led by Your Spirit, You'll lead us to the Word, but You also lead us to the answer. And so, Father, we thank You. And again, we just thank You for the healing virtue, the healing power of God that's in Pastor Jonah, that's working in his body right now. We thank You for the final outcome, and it's Your will, and it's Your plan and purpose for him, and it's wholeness, and it's healing, and it's health. And so, Father, we thank You that he comes out stronger than when he went in it. And we thank You for it now, that You're quickening his body, even right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.